Hi, this is Tim.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to our Foster Parenting Podcast.
We created this show to educate and inform our friends, family,
and anyone who wants to listen
about our lives as foster parents.
We got something a little different this week.
A lot different.
Yeah, way different.
Our first ever interview.
Interview time, not with each other.
So, Tim,
tell me, how did you become a foster parent?
What are your goals for your life? That was our first date.
It was?
No.
I actually tricked you into our first date, but that's a whole nother issue.
Yes, folks, that's how he got me. Well, we're interviewing my friend Ramona tonight, and Ramona and I met through church.
Wait, tell us how you met Ramona.
Oh, because this is an interview, right? We met through church, and we actually were both getting ready to volunteer for a community ministry. And it just so happened that she and I sat down next to each other and had never met before, but the leader, the facilitator of this group, asked a question that was like a mixer. And the nature of the question, when Ramona and I turned to each other to talk about it, the first thing out of her mouth was, well, I know about this personally because I grew up in foster care. And I said, really? Because I'm a foster adopt parent.
Wow.
And then I'm like, I'm the host of this foster parenting podcast. And she goes, oh, really? That one that I hear about all the time?
No, I've been dying to do an interview on that.
No, like everybody else, she probably said, what's a podcast?
So you're not going to hear much from me this week. Good news to everyone I know, but for sure enjoy the interview. I'm looking forward to hearing it myself. And in particular, ever since Wendy did the interview, she's been on me about getting more kids in the house. So I want to know exactly what Ramona told her.
I can't adopt Ramona. She's too old now, but I'd love to. Well, yeah, I went over to Ramona's house a couple nights ago. She has this cozy house. You might hear the neighbors and the dogs barking in the background, but let's just say it adds to the charm of the interview. Here's Ramona. Well, I'm here tonight with Ramona, my dear friend from church. And Ramona, thank you so much for coming on to talk with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. It's my pleasure.
Well, you have a special story that I have really been looking forward to sitting down and talking with you about for our podcast, because you have the perspective of someone who grew up in foster care. And I was just telling you before going on the air here that for me, I'm always thinking, what are my kids going to say in 20 years about their experiences in foster care and then in an adoptive home? And so to have the perspective of somebody who did grow up in foster care is really invaluable. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Well, to start out with, you came into foster care when you were 3. Mm-hmm. And do you want to just share a little bit about the circumstances and how it was that you came into foster care?
I came from a family with a lot of mental illness. And it's really funny because I've been to a number of therapists and they say, I do not have, these sort of things that my parents were both, that my parents both had. My mother was bipolar, my father was schizophrenic, but still, having grew up and come from two people such as these, I'm very often very afraid that I have these issues. And of course people look at me that way because it's, who wants to, take on with, faith and confidence, someone, who has a background, coming from a background like this. So that was kind of like a highlight of me growing up in general and coming into these new homes and these new perspectives and the lives of these people that are taking on a high risk child, and the way that I was viewed. And you can't blame anyone for that. It's just a circumstance which just is, So that kind of highlights the way that, I look at things. But, I was very fortunate, I think, because I think very much key to all children is resilience and how we only know what we know, you know. And I have a number of friends who have had nothing but the quote-unquote traditional normal childhood. And they, you know, are who they are, and their families have just as many problems and many aspects as anyone else. So they only knew what they knew, and I only knew what I knew. So, you know, we are who we are, and, you know, God put a lot of different influences in me, which makes me, you know, I think someone who can be a bigger survivor and kind of roll with the punches, maybe, you know, better than some sometimes. And then the lack thereof as well.
So you were just 3 years old when you came into foster care. Do you remember that? Or what are your earliest memories about your experience?
Like I said, my father did, he had post-traumatic stress disorder and a form of schizophrenia, which he would kind of, it's kind of a strange scenario because, I always think of, the movie A Brilliant Mind, because he was a lovely man. And so, so bright. He graduated number one, literally at the top of his class at Rutgers College. And so bright and so kind, but he wasn't able to function properly. You know, he couldn't hold down a job, and he was working as a janitor, you know, toward the end before we got out of the house, because he just wasn't able to manage. He wasn't able to hold, you know, down a job and just function properly. And my mother was bipolar, and it was just, you know, I never met my grandparents or my aunts and uncles. They moved out to California here. My parents did. And I imagine because they were so strange that no one continued a relationship with them, because, funny enough, what I hear about my extended relatives, my aunts and uncles and grandparents and all that, is they all seem normal. They had normal jobs and they seemed functioning, which is very, very important factor for me to know, you know, when I finally found that out. So just when I found out more about them, you know, by just simply asking, but they, seemed like they must have been normal functioning. So, 'cause my parents just were not. And, it was because, literally at school, they could tell we weren't being cared for properly, that we weren't bathed and wearing normal clothing. And it started out with, you know, the teachers would say, oh, tell your mom, you know, maybe to put you in a different sort of dress, or to, you know, comb your hair, you know. And me as a kid, whatever, I was just running around squirrely, and I didn't know, you know, the difference, whatever. I was happy enough. You know, my parents did love me, which is so fortunate. You know, they were, you know, crazy as all get out, but I was the luckiest, you know, that way, because I knew they loved me, you know, and there wasn't a doubt about that, you know, for me.
Do you remember your very first placement in foster care?
Yeah, well, the thing is, they came, we were evicted is what happened. My parents weren't paying the rent, and they came in and put my parents in some sort of lockdown place and took us into, it was kind of strange. They kind of, they locked him up, and for some reason I saw all this. And I was confused. They came in and, like, took our furniture out of the house. And it was like, I don't know. I don't know how long it had been. They weren't paying the rent. And I remember this day. It was very traumatic and, you know, very strange. And we were placed in homes. And initially, I guess they weren't certain they were going to take us away, because we were placed in, like, a temporary, I don't know. It was a woman who lived rather close, and somehow she took us in for a little while. And I guess they were coming to see that, yeah, they weren't, my parents weren't going to be able to get it together enough. And so that first home, yeah, she would take in kind of temporary children. And my brother and my sister and I, our perspective was, you know, whatever, we thought it was normal to be with our parents and wanted to be with our parents. And of course, that is normal, but I kind of don't know how skewed my perspective is, because all we remember is that she was very scary and we thought she was very mean, you know, because she had all these rules and our parents, you know, probably didn't, you know, probably didn't care for us in any normal fashion. And she was probably, I remember her being rather irritated with us and having us do all sorts of new different things that, you know, we didn't want to do. So,
what?
Yeah, so... And on top of it all, which is kind of, you know, a strange thing, is she was blind. And, yeah, so, and then, anyway, yeah, I don't remember her being very nurturing or having very many intimate, you know, moments with her other than, you know, basic, you know, whatever, interaction and her caring, looking after us, you know, in a very... basic way. And that was, I don't know, that was temporary and an odd situation. I don't remember much of it. And my brother and sister and I don't talk about, you know, this sort of thing much. So yeah, that's kind of strange. I don't remember very much. I was very young. So
time goes on and you never did return back to the care of your parents, right?
No, actually I did at one point when I was six. For some reason they thought it would be good for me to go back for a little while. And we were living in what would amount to like a crack hotel apartment where we literally had to go down the hall to use the restroom. And we didn't have a restroom in our own apartment, you know, but this was a very, you know, scary place for me because looking back now, I know full well many of the people there were strung out and on drugs and just, you know, whatever, scary people to me, you know, of course. And, but you don't know much difference, but I remember being a little scared of living there. But my parents, you know, met me at the school bus every day and, you know, and, so my time with them was temporary. I ended up going back into the foster home rather quickly after that.
And you ended up having about 7 placements in foster care?
Yeah. Overall, let's see. We had one where they placed both my sister and I, and they had 2 girls of their own. And... yeah, so they couldn't place, it's very hard for them to place 3 children at once, and they didn't place my brother with us at that time. Then it was too much, and she ended up moving in with the family down the street, and I stayed with them. Yeah, they were all so different, you know, all these different families. So, you know, in a way, I always used to say I was lucky to have, you know, all this different balance, because a lot of people grow up with one abusive family, and, you know, these people were all different in their own ways. It was, you know, an alcoholic generation, you know, in general. So a lot of them drank too much, but that was the way, you know, back in the day. And a lot of them, well, I had one that was like I used to joke and call them the wilderness family, because we used to go camping and just go out on the boat and water ski. And they were very, very into motorcycles, and so we did a lot of just fun things that people don't get to do, you know, necessarily. You know, they were very, very big on all sorts of outdoor activity, and yeah, it was funny because I wrote about some of the things we did, and we used to feed chips to dolphins in off their boat, and they thought I had a crazy imagination. They thought I was might have been making some of this up at one point at school, which is very funny because that's literally what they used to do. They had a lot of fun, you know. But yeah.
Well, of all those placements, what are some of the things you remember as being, I don't know, maybe really good things that some of your foster parents did, things that made you feel comfortable, things that you would advise other foster parents to do for kids?
The way I view it all, most of it, is I felt like I was very much, like, scared and alone. Because, I mean, I remember distinctly going to, you know, the initial days are the worst, the day you first show up, you know, you're wondering what the heck, you know, you're in for with this new family, and, you know, of course you don't feel any bond to them. You don't know what to feel for them, you know. And I remember one home where for some reason the social worker went inside to talk to the foster mother or father, whatever. And for some reason they left me out on the porch, and I never felt like, I remember that moment so vividly. I was sitting there on the porch, just, I felt very alone. Like, and one of the foster sisters just was a teenager and she was inside and she was sitting there on the couch and just watching TV. And she just kept going, you know, you could come in, come in. And it sounds so ridiculous, but I, you know, I felt like it wasn't my house, like, you know, and I didn't know what to do. So I was just kind of petrified sitting there. But, you know, I mean, looking back, like as an adult, I'd say, oh my gosh, go pick up, you know, the little girl and bring her in and, you know, whatever. But, I don't know, that kind of like, I guess most of these families, would just act normal and try to be normal when, to me, looking back, I guess I needed extra sensitivity. And I always, and I think that that's something that kind of has stuck with me, unfortunately. Like, you know, like, I'm the one, like, maybe who needs, like, you know, some extra TLC sometimes, understanding, I guess, you know. So, you know.
Okay, so just to dig a little deeper on that one, let's say, you know, I have that little girl come into my home and I want to give that extra sensitivity. What would that look like? You know, what do you wish that somebody had shown that sensitivity to you?
Oh, yeah, I know. See, that's the hard part for foster families. I mean, my gosh, you're taking on such a huge, huge, you know, Pandora's box. Who knows what is going on with these children and what you're in for. And you, just the fact that you're doing it shows that you're an exceptional human being and that you care, you know, about humanity. And but there are those that do it just for the money, and I was in a few, and that it's not much money, so that's, you know, not saying too much. But yeah, there were a couple of those that I had as well. But you know, most of them aren't that way, because of course there's not enough for you to you know, make a profit, that's for sure. But yeah, so I think that to answer that question better, something that almost you can't do, it's not your fault. Like, there's this hole in this little person that, you know, that you didn't put there, and that they, you know, are going to have no matter what, that they're always going to wonder, you know, be confused and wonder why they're not with their own mother and father. And in a way, sometimes they don't even know that that's not normal, like, you know, because they only know what they're going through. And so sometimes, you know, it's like everyone else is telling them that it's not normal. they don't know, you know, whatever. That was their circumstance. But I feel for, you know, foster families, because there's nothing, I really feel like there's almost nothing you can do, like, to fix that, because, you know, it's not your, it's just a confusion, and it's not your fault, and that's always going to be, you know, there, you know, a little bit of trauma that's just going to be carried on, you know, through this person. And, you know, hopefully someone could try to understand that, you know, then hopefully you can understand, you know, why maybe they behave the way they do.
You told me earlier that your final placement, right before you went to live with your brother at age 13, right? Mm-hmm. And he pretty much finished out raising you. Or growing up with you,
yeah.
Maybe not raising you,
yeah.
But that final placement, yeah. In your preteen years was the best one, you said. Is that right?
Prior to going to my brother's. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And how was that a good placement for you?
Oh my word. I can't talk enough about this woman and this family, but, because it was just, I was it was called Albert Sitting Home in Orange County. And that's a place where children that, you know, can't be adopted or are in between foster homes go. and I was there with my brother and sister, and they had come for a young girl that was around my age, and they wanted to have company for her, which was a common scenario for me because I was younger, and that was why I was placed in the other two homes. They wanted someone around that age for their other daughter. And so that was the common, you know, choice for some reason. But anyway, they were coming just for me, and I happened to be the youngest. And my brother and sister and I, you know, didn't really know what was going on, but we were told, whatever, that I was going to be going on with this family and leaving Albert's sitting home there. And basically, we were sitting on this bench, and we were all crying, and the foster mother said, well, who are those other two kids? And they said her brother and her sister. And she said, I'll take them too. And she had three kids of her own. So talk about, you know, perfect insanity, you know, but, you know, nothing but love, you know, like it's, and the compassion and the, you know, whatever, the decency to be able to open up your home to, you know, not one, but three all of a sudden when you already have three children of her own, she had. So it was a huge surprise to her husband. She just brought us all home, and that was that. And, you know, we all laughed about it later because how or why. Yeah, that literally she sprung it on the whole family. Yeah, now you have three more brothers and sisters. So she had taken in foster kids before, but taken in one or two, whatever, previously. So, yeah, she just a huge heart and very open and very easygoing, and had her, you know, her priorities in the right place. And we were so fortunate to, you know, I mean, really, I believe that I wouldn't be anywhere near as somewhat normal as I am if I didn't have her in my life. So I think that that was a huge blessing, to say the least.
And how long were you in that home?
You know, we were in that home for a little while when I think I was around second grade or third grade the first time. And so we were there for, I think, maybe just like a year. And for some reason, we left for a while. I don't know. Maybe it was like, of course, too much or whatever. But she decided to take us back. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know why. I think like we just tried some other scenarios, and to tell you the truth, of course, they probably don't tell you. Maybe it was too much for her, and that's completely normal. I don't know. I don't know the reason behind that, but for some reason we left for a while, but she took us back. Like, she still thought about us and asked about us and showed concern, and for some reason we ended up back with her. But the first time around she had all three of us, and the second time around she had just my sister and I. Pardon me, we were with her for 3-4 years. Yeah, and we had so many beautiful experiences. You know, she brought home, I mean, I learned how to swim, I learned how to ski. You know, we had a lot of fun, and I never knew what an athlete I was until I was in that family, because they brought us to all those functions, and, you know, I was able to, you know, shine in a way that I didn't know, you know, I had, you know, skills for.
Ramona, you just solved a mystery for me. I've been trying to figure out how I can get more kids into my home without having to get Tim's permission. And you just told me. I just bring them home, right?
Oh, my gosh. You're too much.
That's why I came by alone tonight to interview you. Let's not tell Tim. Well, wow. I know that you could share so much more of your story, but what I'm really eager to hear is, most of our audience is either foster parenting now or individuals and families that are interested in foster parenting. So the foster parenting side of it, and just based on your own experience, what would you have to say to them? You know, it's kind of like you are their foster child looking into their eyes as an adult. And what do you have to say to them?
You know, gosh, I always, for some reason, that always sticks in my head that, you know, blood is thicker than water, and you have a tendency to understand and have compassion for people like that you're related to sometimes, because you could just understand them better. And just because you're not cut from the same cloth, you know, you have, you know, maybe a harder time to understand each other. And basically getting down to finding out, like, the deeper reasons, you know, why there might be issues or why there might be, you know, I always think I always just needed, like, extra attention on, and I was always asking for more attention and more love, you know, and, you know, can I have this? Can I have that? And, you know, because I wanted to, you know, whatever I wanted, I was a kid and I always wanted. And, I don't know. I really feel bad about that because I always just think, that must have been, you know, just hard and confusing for the foster family. I mean, I was like, to be honest, I was like that with only the one family that was the best to me because I felt comfortable. All the others, I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't ask of them. As I think I probably knew, you know, I wasn't comfortable enough. And so the worst of me came out with the best family because I was able to test the boundaries and test the limits and, you know, see what was right and wrong. And, you know, that's where I, unfortunately, you know, the best family that didn't deserve it got the worst, you know, of my behavior just because, you know, I mean, I always joke that I was raised by wolves because I had different, you know, so many different scenarios, you know, and so, you know, one set of families' rules are different than another's. And not only that, it's just, you know, everything takes time to understand, you know, the basic guidelines of a household and where you fit in and where, you know, how you can interpret, you know, your place there amongst the family. In addition, I always say, think that it's just so hard because a child only knows that they're a child and they expect love and to be taken care of and they expect those things to be, you know, something that you can take for granted. And instead of, you know, coming to this new lovely family that's so gracious to take you in with, you know, thankfulness, you come with a ton of need and extra insecurities and big holes. And so you're, you know, you're a big burden. And so you don't realize that, you know, and looking back, you know, it wasn't until I was a young adult, you know, that I, you know, went back to contact the family and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I realize, you know, what you did for us. And I can't fathom, you know, how and why for one second, you know, what a pain we were and, you know, how much grief we, you know, added to your life just by being so, you know, needy and confused and, you know, but what was great about that family is they always just treated us very normal. You know, they were big on having us all be, you know, treated the same. And, I think that, you know, we came like needing more and wanting more just because we were, you know, deprived of so much for so long. And we finally got loved and we felt secure and all those things came out. And, but, you know, we were treated very normally and very much, you know, just a member of the family, which is, you know, the best that anyone could do, you know. Except, you know, another thing is the moms would always understand that, you know, more. Usually the dads, you know, were kind of checked out and only interested in their own children almost across the board. Mm. And that's a sad thing to say, but that's just the way it was for me. The only time I got a little bit of acknowledgement from the fathers was that was when, you know, I would excel in sports because I just happened to be a natural athlete. You know, that's the way God, you know, blessed me. And, you know, when I would win a race, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the dad would say, oh, she's mine, you know, like, and just, and when, you know, I'm like, who are you again? Oh, right. Okay. You know, so it's kind of funny, but, you know, whatever, a lot of dads, especially in that generation, don't, you know, weren't big on, you know, comprehending emotion, you know, whatever, especially from a little girl, you know.
Well, this has been such a good interview, and I can't wait to post it on the internet and share it with people. So, Ramona, thank you for taking the time, and just thanks for your willingness to share your story, because I know parts of it are sensitive, and it's just a very giving thing of you to share who you are with all of these strangers on the internet, and I'm just grateful for who you are in my life also.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ramona. Okay, so what'd you think?
Well, first off, you are never, ever going to pick up foster kids by yourself without me there.
Okay.
Because apparently they let you take extras.
I don't think they do that anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd find a way.
Wow, that was amazing, though.
Yeah. Well, what one thing that came to mind was that none of her foster dads were really involved in her life, and she recognized that all along the way, and what a difference that could have made in her life, I'm sure she would say, if just even one of them had been invested in the foster kids in his home as he was in his own children, in his birth children.
Yeah, and just, did you hear what she said, too, about how when she was placed in a home that let her develop her athletic gifts, that, I mean, that stuck with that with her whole life, even though that was only a few years of her life that she lived there, it helped her realize she's an athlete.
Yeah. Something else that came up for me was that she said some things that were very similar to what you hear in your trainings and from social workers about how kids will react or respond. But she didn't say it like a social worker.
Yeah, she said it the way a foster child would say it after processing it as an adult.
Yeah,
she did.
Which was really great to hear. And also nice to hear that the social workers aren't so off base. Yeah, it was a really great interview and really valuable, to me at least, to hear it. And I'm sure for our listeners as well.
You know, she is really just an amazing person. When you meet Ramona, immediately she's just warm and caring and loving and just one of the finest people you'll ever meet. And really, to find out the amazing story that she has, it just shows me how resilient she is and how she's just come through so much, and God has formed her and probably used every experience she's had, good and bad, to make her the person she is today. And I'm just so grateful that she was willing to not only be interviewed, but to be so vulnerable with all of America and the world, all four listeners. And just, yeah, how giving that even is in itself, to choose to be interviewed like that. And also, I'll have you know, she told me that she would be open, if we have any listeners that have questions for her, she'd be open to coming on again. So if anybody out there has questions to ask, you can email us or post on the website.
Yeah. As they would say in Australia, good on you, Ramona.
What's that?
I don't know. They just say it in Australia.
They say good on you?
Good on you. Yeah. Good on ya.
Good on you, Ramona.
Well, that's it for today. To leave a comment or ask a question, please visit our website, fosterpodcast.com.
Or send an email to info@fosterpodcast.com. If you like our show, please write a review on iTunes to help others find us.
Names have been changed on this podcast to protect the privacy of those involved and to be a maverick.
Foster parenting is the most heart-wrenching, frustrating, all-consuming thing we've ever done.
But when it gets down to it, it's just about helping kids. And that's the most rewarding thing in our lives.
If you've ever thought you might adopt or foster, we challenge you to take the next step today.